Good morning. Welcome to Wake Up with Hope. This is Sharon Bolin. So glad that you are joining me live for this morning's podcast. Today is March the 6th. We are in the month of March, which means war. God has already given us the victory. Though we fight from the position of winning because we are overcomers. So never forget your position. This morning, I want to talk to you about the set time, God's set time. Do you know in everything pertaining to how God deals with us, there is a time and there is a season? Psalm 102:13 declares, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come." There are seasons as we walk through this journey with God, and in every season, God is doing a new thing. But the season we're in is a set time, and a set time has come. Do you know? We wait on the promises, we wait, we pray. We don't always get the answers immediately. Most of the time, we have to wait. But there is a set time, and that set time has already been determined. And when the set time has come, favor comes, open door comes, the blessing comes. But we have to do our part in the times of waiting. So I want to unpack this thought this morning because I know that many of you listening, maybe every one of you, you've been waiting on God to fulfill a promise in your life. But God is waiting on you as much as you're waiting on Him. Again, you are waiting on God to fulfill something in your life, but God is waiting on you to be filled with Him. And in every new season of our life, as God is moving in a set time, the favor and the blessings and the open doors, they come based on your hunger for God. In other words, God allows you to wait because He has to test your faith to see if you will go through even the barren times and you will continue to believe. So God tests your faith so when the set time has come, if you have continued to surrender all, in which He becomes your everything, then you connect with that set time. There's favor and there's open door, there's blessing, there are miracles. Do you know this year is a set time? It's the year of Jubilee. In the 50th year, all debts are canceled. Prisoners go free. Bondages are broken. There are restoration of families. There are miracle signs and wonders that happen in a Jubilee year. So we are in a set time like we have never been in before. And in the seasons where we feel God's not answering my prayer, he's not even there, I don't even feel Him anymore, God has to test your faith. God wants to wait, and He will, to see if you will continue to wait on Him. So again, God will wait on you to see if you will wait on Him. God will test your desire and your love for Him. He will test your faithfulness. He will test your endurance because He is looking for someone who has surrendered everything. And when you have surrendered everything, the only thing that can fulfill you is Him. So God is a God of seasons. Our Lord is a Lord of set times. And He moves by His own set time. Today, we are in, again, a season of Jubilee. But in the midst of this, we're really in days of darkness. Do you realize how dark the earth is right now? The evil, the wickedness, it is advanced like never before. However, God is moving like never before. But only those who respond to him will receive the blessings. How do you receive the blessings? You respond to his love. You respond by time with him. And it all boils down to your hunger. So this morning I want to ask you, where is your hunger for God? On a scale of 1 to 10, are you a 10 plus? Are you a 5? Are you a 2? Are you a 7? Where are you on the scale of hunger? Because your hunger has everything to do with the blessing of the set time. Everybody wants the blessing. You know, today, everyone wants a prophetic word about God is going to do this and answer your prayer and work the miraculous and give you everything you want. But is that how God works? Will God give someone who is backslidden everything they want, the desires of their heart? Will God give someone who is living with other loves and he is not even near first place all the blessings and favor? You need to read his word because he will not. God is looking for faithfulness. We want a faithful God. Well, God wants a faithful bride. And hunger brings the miraculous into your life. Hunger results in you getting favor and blessing. Hunger will result in the open door you're waiting on. It's hunger that will take us to the next dimension of our walk with God. And we cannot enter a new season and experience the set time blessing and outpouring without the new hunger. We want a new season? We need to have a new hunger. You know, years ago, before I was even in the ministry, I just wanted to know the Lord. And I would spend hours and hours as a single woman in the presence of God. I was in my early 20s, and I remember Charlotte Hannah, who was a spiritual mother to me. Charlotte and I would go to every crusade and conference in which the anointing was present. There are a lot of crusades and conferences where there's no anointing. But the ones that we would attend, there was great moves of the Spirit. And every time we would attend, we would get filled again. I would travel to different cities. And by plane or driving, however, we would just get there. And we would get in this atmosphere that was corporate, and the power and the presence of God was so rich and so thick, and we would get filled, and the word, we would feed on it. I remember coming home from conferences, and I would sit in my bedroom the entire weekend, and I would look at my notes, and I would read them over and over and over and over. I was so hungry for God. I remember going to a service, there were only like 30 people there. And the gentleman that was speaking had just written a book called God's Generals. His name is Robert Sliordon. And this was, I think, the maybe early 90s. And he was talking about, in this book, how each of these mighty men and women of God walked in power and favor. And I thought to myself, well, how did they change the world? I've got to get this book. And I remember reading that book and looking at the way that they lived, how they began. They didn't always end well, But most every one of them began, well, and it was by hunger. And I would come home from services and I would read my notes and I would study my notes and I would pray and I would speak to the Lord and I would lay in the bed at night with my little worship music on, just instrumental. And I was so hungry for God, I didn't want to lose that glorious presence I would receive at these conferences and crusades. Do you know, for weeks at a time, I could still feel the presence after going to a service? How many times do you go to a service and you walk out and you've already lost the presence that you had? You've gotten the flesh, you've found another love, and all of a sudden that moment has left you. We've got to live in that moment. We've got to live in the set time. We've got to hunger for God because the set time is upon us right now. There's a set time of jubilee. And everybody wants to get out of debt, and everybody wants a breakthrough, and everybody wants a blessing, but everybody doesn't have the hunger. Blessed are those who hunger. So my question to you this morning is, what do you hunger most for? What are you filling your life with? What's the number one thing you hunger for? That's a question we all have to look at, and we wonder why certain areas of our life aren't right. Well, what are you hungering for? How much time are you spending in his presence? The season is upon us. We've got to receive. But we can't receive if we're not hungering. There's an appointed time. In Genesis 18:14, God said to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. Well, how long did they wait? 25 years. No son. The woman is 90 years old. I mean, how's she going to get a son? Way past childbearing age. Abraham is old. Sarah is old. But God had to test the faith of his servant so that when the hunger was there and the hunger continued to stay and the faith continued to grow, it all of a sudden climaxed in the set time. And the miracle happened. How about Joseph? Psalm 105:16. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Ooh. We've got to look at that. Psalm 105:16-19. Until the set time, the word of the Lord tested him. How does the word of the Lord test you? The word of the Lord will test your faith. The word of the Lord will test your endurance. The word of the Lord will test your hunger. Our hunger for God must be our priority. Daniel grew in his hunger. He prayed 3 times a day in Babylon, and the lions could not eat him. Nothing could harm him, because in the set time, he lived in the miracle, because he grew in his walk with God by hunger. Joseph, in the midst of a heathen nation, Egypt, did not lose his hunger and faithfulness for God. For 13 years, he never bowed down to any other God but his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Think that through for a moment. And God's word tested him, but the set time came, and he got to the palace, and he was second in command. Why? Because he passed the test of faithfulness, and his hunger for God remained a priority. How about Moses in the desert? 40 years. But the time came, the set time came, that he would have to face that burning bush, and then he would get his marching orders, and his entire life would change. The word of the Lord had to test him. He left Egypt knowing that he had to be a deliverer, but didn't know how it would work. But there was a word, and he left Egypt. But he had to be tried for 40 years because Egypt had to come out of him. We have a lot of Egypt in us. Egypt links with the world, and God has to get the world out. The love that Moses had for Egypt, the love for all the wealth of Egypt, all the things that Egypt provided had to come out of him, and God had to be his first love. He had to hunger. He had to search. He had to find who this God was, and so God put him in the desert. We don't like the desert. We don't like the times of alone. We don't like the hard times. But why is God putting us there? Because God is getting everything in you out. Everything that links with Egypt must come out. Everything, every hunger, every desire, every longing for this world has to come out. Or you are not ready to step into the set time of God. You'll miss the set time because you'll be distracted by some other love. Elijah. Look at Elijah. Did he lose his walk with God in famine? Elijah became greater in famine. Note that. 3.5 years of famine, and Elijah advanced, not declined. Hardships shouldn't make you decline. Hardships should make you advance because your hunger should increase. And the increase of hunger links with the increase of faith. So think about Elijah. He comes on the scene at a time, you know, where Israel is doing well, everything's great, and he pronounces there's going to be no rain, there's going to be a drought, there's going to be a famine, tribulation, and it happens. First he's fed by a bird. Then he's fed by a widow who only has enough food for one little meal, and it lasts for years. Now, when Elijah comes on the scene, his word, you see there's power. But God wanted to take him from where he was at the beginning to something greater, because there was a set time coming that famine would end. There was a set time coming that God would bring down the rain. There was a set time coming that God would destroy by fire. He would come down and he would show Israel his power by the fire that consumed the water. Now we know basic science and chemistry that fire does not quench water. Water quenches fire. But when it comes to God's fire quenches water. And in that set time, the prophets of Baal had to be slain. Things had to happen. But before that set time came for the famine to end, God had to test Elijah. And what we see happening in the house of that widow with the man of God and her son, we see him advancing. We see him advancing. His hunger is advancing. His desire for God is advancing because the power is advancing. It's increasing. Nobody in the Bible had raised a dead person until that moment in that house when her son died and Elijah prayed and he was raised from the dead. That proves right there there was an increase. There was an increase. From the time he went to Ahab to the time in that house, he had increased in his hunger. The more, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning. The more hunger, the greater the power. blessed be the name. The more we feed on Christ Jesus, the more we become like Christ Jesus. The more we feed on manna from heaven, the more we live in heaven on earth. The set time has come. So what have you been doing for the last year, two, five? The set time has come. Where's your hunger? Have you advanced or have you declined? What is it that you hunger for? You know, my mother was cooking a meal for me recently, and my mother loves to cook. In fact, all my aunts, you will always find them in the kitchen. They live to cook. It's something that we have a running joke. Do you guys live to cook? And they just love to cook. That is their thing. They love to cook. They love to serve. And my mom is a phenomenal cook, like my other aunts. And she had been in the kitchen cooking, but I had already gotten something to eat earlier. And I was full. And I walk in the kitchen, and everything smelled great. It was wonderful, but I had no appetite. I was already full. So no matter how wonderful the curry smelled, no matter how great this dish was my mom was making, I had already eaten something that filled me. So no matter how great that dish was she was making, I just didn't have a hunger. If we are filled with something outside of God, no matter how great something is that God has for us, we're not going to step into it because our hunger has already been filled with something else. And we're going to miss what God has. So it's important today to know the set time has come. This is such an important year. I'm telling all of you, if you have ever experienced a set time, it's now. We see small fires of revival breaking out, such as in Asbury College and other places. Why? Because it's a set time year. It's just beginning. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time under heaven. When God becomes your all, and when I say your all, that means the only one in your life that can satisfy you completely. When that happens, you're ready for the set time. How does that happen? Through trials, tribulations. You know, my father and I were so close. It's really hard to know it's been 5 years my dad has stepped into glory. It's been a difficult time. And I held on to my dad. We ministered together. He fed me manna from heaven. There was no one like my dad. Line up every Bible scholar, anointed pastor, preacher out there, my dad was like someone from the Bible. He walked holy. He talked holy. He lived holy. His hands and his feet were holy. He meditated on the word day and night. He lived in a dimension of heaven on earth, never moved by fear, worry, depression, doubt. That man lived in a dimension I have never seen anybody live like this. Never complained, suffered greatly, never complained. Rejoiced, had joy, and his life had the fragrance of Christ. And I held on to him tightly. And I loved the God in my dad. You know, every one of us has God in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. But how much of God is seen? How much of Jesus is seen in you? It depends on if Jesus is the priority. And when he left, I had a really tough time with that. I didn't understand. Why? Couldn't you let him stay 5, 10, 20 more years? Why, Lord? Why? I depended on him. I needed Dad. And the Lord took him from me and our entire family. It's been a big adjustment. But the Lord has been dealing with me since that time and showing me, Sharon, I know you love me. I know you love your dad. But I have to be your all. And now that he's gone, you have no one but me. You see, we go through seasons, and sometimes God has to take even the closest people we love away, or the things we love away, or the job you love away, to bring you to the place where you have nobody else but him. I want to be first in your life, and I don't want anybody else that can compete for that position. That's a tough one. Because we love our family, we love our children, we love things, and we love the people of God, but God wants to be foremost. Look at how Moses lived his life. It was he and God. Look at Elijah, he and God. Look at Joseph. He had a family he loved, but it was God and Joseph. How about Daniel? How about the disciples? How about Paul, Peter, John? There was something in their lives that set them apart. They had really come to this line and crossed over to where there was no even thought of anything competing with their love and their commitment. And they walked in the set time. They received miracles. They got favor. They had open doors and promises. They lived in God's set time. Their hunger connected with the time of God, and that's what we have to see today. Your hunger or lack of has everything to do with God's set time. So right now, if your hunger for God is not the priority of your life, I urge you, do whatever you have to do to get there. Don't miss this year. Don't miss this set time. Everything in this season is so ripe. God is so ready. But are you? Is your child the priority or God? Is your job what's on your mind all the time, or is the Lord? How about your spouse, your family, your mother, your father? How about your sports, your entertainment? What is the priority of your life? If you don't hate mother, father, brother, sister, houses, land, and your own life, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't hate your own life, what is the Lord saying? We're supposed to hate all these people and hate ourselves? No. What he's saying is, if your love for me isn't so great that it looks like hate for everyone else, can't be my disciple. Whew, that's a tall order to fill. How do you get there? How does your love for God be so far greater than your love for your spouse, your love for your mother, your father, your love for your family, your child? How about your love for yourself? How about your love for your money? Ooh, let's not touch that today. People love their money. Nobody's going to touch my money. Oh, is our love for God so great and so far beyond everything else that we'll invest in the kingdom? Ooh. You see, God's testing us in everything. Everything. Everything must be uncovered for this set time. For us to be connected to the blessing and the outpouring of the set time, there must be a hunger for God on a scale we have never had before. God must be the only one that can satisfy your life. When God becomes your all, you connect with the set time. When God becomes your everything, you're ready. Listen, we all have seasons in which we're not going hard after God like we used to. We all have seasons in which we get dry, and sometimes we just don't have that hunger. We'd rather sit and watch the news for 3 hours and spend time 3 hours praying and studying the Word. We'd rather sit down and watch a movie or go on a vacation. Because your soul just doesn't really want to spend time with God. We just want some of the world. And there's nothing wrong with traveling and vacationing and watching the news here and there and all that, but we have to come back to what is the driving force of your life, and that is something we must consider today. What drives you? When you wake up in the morning, what makes you joyful? What is driving you? What is behind you? What is the drive? Is there a hunger? You know, when you're single and you meet someone and you're interested in that person and you're starting to date them, and oh, it's so wonderful in the beginning. It's exciting. You wake up every morning, you can't wait to call them. You can't wait to talk to them. You can't wait to go out on a date and see them. You can't wait to do this and to do that. Everything you're going through in life, you want to share it with them. You want to tell them. They're the first person on your mind. Do we have that feeling for the Lord? Are we awake every day, getting out of bed, brimming with joy, can't wait to talk to him? Do we commune during the day? Do we open up the Word and say, oh, Lord, oh, I see a different side of you here. Oh, and you're filled. We need to come back to that. Now, how do we get it? Before we close this morning, we must address this. How do you get the hunger if you're right now dry? You may say, Sharon, well, I want this, but I just don't have it. I don't know how to get it. People ask me this question all the time. Sharon, tell me how to get hunger. Sharon, pray for me to get hunger. How do we get it? Listen, I'm no different than you. We're all humans. We all go through trials and tribulations and ups and downs, and times we're close to God, and sometimes we're not that close. Sometimes we're on fire, we have hunger, and sometimes we have none. So how do we get there and stay there? Oh, that's the question. We must have him as our first love. That's how we do it. You see, other loves will come in our lives, other temptations, other things. And God will test that, test you to see how you weather. But we've got to be faithful, and we've got to endure, and we've got to press on, and we've got to persevere, and we've got to get in his presence. The more you're in his presence, the more you'll hunger for his presence. Charlotte and I used to go to every conference, crusade. We would go to services. A lot of my dad's, Reinhard Bonnke, powerful man of God, bidding him crusades and conferences. The worship is what we were going for. Of course, the teaching, but the worship. the worship, and that worship would take you to a new dimension in your walk. You know, we would sing those hymns, "How Great Thou Art." And it was the worship with the believers, the fellowship, that corporate move that brought the power. I remember being at a Reinhard Bonnke service. Oh, we were all just worshiping. And he got up there to preach, and the fire of God came out of him. Oh, the presence was so glorious. My dad, I'd be in service after service after service. My notebooks filled to max capacity. I bought so many notebooks, taking those notes, studying those notes, meditating on the word. Couldn't wait to get off of work so I could get in my room and study that word. I'd take my notebook and look at my notebook on my lunch break. How many of you do that? How many services have you gone to that you've taken notes? Where are those notes right now? Do you remember what you took? Why don't you break out your notes and start studying them again? God wants to give us a revelation, a fresh revelation of him, and it will stir your hunger. Worship, prayer, the word will bring the hunger like never before, but you've got to get around other people. The connection will spark the hunger. Because oftentimes when we're drifting away, we need someone else's connection of fire. None of us is an island. You know, there are times in my life where I need my friends, my close friends who pray with me and we intercede together. And that is so important. It brings me back. It ignites it again if I feel like I'm wavering. Because the things of the world, life, it affects you. You know, going through a divorce 4 years ago, that will really affect you, especially what happened in my marriage. It was completely, completely different. And to go through that and have your child and the brokenness and the hurt and the pain and watching your child go through it, you go through it, it's hard to have hunger for God when you're just trying to stop the bleeding from the wound. And I had to have my friends that helped carry me through that time. You see, you need that. And I had to push through the emotion and get my hunger back. So I just want to encourage you. We're in a new time. We are in the set time. Remember, God has many set times. This year is definitely a set time. Don't miss it. I pray you will not miss it. It's an appointed time. God told Abraham, he told Sarah, you're going to have a child. It's going to be a promise. But he didn't tell them yet. They had to wait 25 years. So he had to test and allow them to go through trials and disappointments and hardships to test the faith. But Abraham continued to believe, and at the appointed time it happened. God said it right there in Genesis 18, at the appointed time I will return to you. Sarah's going to have a son. God gives you a promise. But he's got a set time for the promise. And the set time has everything to do with you, your hunger, your commitment. We've got to get our hunger back. We've got to stop feeding on other things that are taking our hunger away from God. We've got to be ready for the set time, everyone. This is our year. We can't miss it. It's time to make the necessary changes to get into the flow of the Spirit. I want to invite every one of you, as we're closing out this morning, to come to our Good Friday service. Why is that so important? Stop making an excuse of watching online. It doesn't do it justice. It's nothing like being there in person. There is an anointing. There is a presence. And I know everybody can't come. We are all going through different circumstances, but those of you that can, I want you to come. Make the effort. God will meet you there. Charlotte and I We had to reschedule our life. And we had to make God the priority. And we went to these services and we got in the presence of God and our hunger increased. You've got to pursue God. People waste time going to so many things that they walk out empty. You will not walk out empty. I promise you. I promise you, you will not walk out empty from this service. God has already given me a dream. There will be an outpouring at this service, and I don't think it's going to be like any we've ever held. It is God's, and God will do what God will do because this is a set time. I promise y'all, this is an appointed time. So make a commitment to God and don't waver and come. Make a commitment to God this year. Don't waver and stay in His presence. Increase your time in the Word and worship. Get alone with Him. Hunger and thirst. Only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. You can't be filled if you're already filled. And you're going to miss the set time. You're going to miss the set time has come. You're going to miss it if you're filled with something else. So it's time to get hungry again. It's time to stop feeding on all these other things and start feeding on Christ Jesus, the true bread. And when you get around the presence of God, it will spark the hunger. When you get in an atmosphere, oh, the hard heart will melt. The love of the world will fade away. And God will be your first love again. And that is what God is calling us back to. The appointed time comes when God is our first love. When He becomes your all. The only one that can satisfy you, you're ready for the set time. Blessed be His glorious name. May this word this morning ignite a fire in you to pursue God like never before. And those of you that are attending the service, or maybe you haven't even plan to, but you, after today, you're going to come. You want to come. Please get your free ticket at SharonBoland.com. Listen, people are coming from all over the country. I'm amazed. Do you know that the hotel now has run out of rooms that we have blocked? So they're having to increase the rooms. We're having to get more rooms today because we've reached our capacity. People are coming. God is going to move. There's a feeling of an expectation. It's the year of Jubilee. It's the set time. The service will be here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area April 7th. Then we have a breakfast the next morning on the 8th. It's always so powerful. So come for the service Friday night, April 7th, and then the breakfast on Saturday morning and experience God. Why don't you just devote the Passover season to God. Devote that weekend to God. Let Him be your priority and prepare you for the set time that is upon us. You can get your tickets at our website, SharonBoland.com. Thank you for listening this morning. Share this message. It will be on our website shortly. And let's really get prepared to receive all God has in this year of Jubilee. The set time has come. The Lord bless you.